Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This is a very familiar passage we'll be looking at this morning in terms of the Christmas story. Right here on this first Sunday after Thanksgiving, I wanted to go ahead and jump right into a Christmas series of messages. When the church is decorated like this, you've got to go right into it. But really, when I think about it, we only have four Sundays, including today, before Christmas. And so to say the things that we want to say during this season, we want to jump right on that. In fact, if I was going to be, as far as myself, I want to draw our attention to a series that I would just simply call Christmas Characteristics, because there's some characters that I want to bring some attention to over the next few weeks. Here as we talk about Christmas and see what God would have to say to us out of this very important time. The incredible thing that I love about Christmas is the fact that everywhere we turn, there's certainly a focus upon Christ Himself. We think about all the Christmas carols, especially the Christmas songs, and it makes a beeline to Jesus when we're talking about Christmas, Christian Christmas songs. They go right to Jesus, which is the heart of the matter. What we want you to do during this season is to invite people back home. And so as Austin mentioned at the beginning, we've taken up a theme this year of to really welcome home for Christmas. Welcome back home during this Christmas season. We want you to invite people to be in church with you and just encourage one another in the Lord and just reach out in every direction you possibly can because we need to let this message of the gospel known everywhere, far and wide. There's no time to waste when the issue is eternity. Would you say amen to that? Listen, when eternity is the issue, there's people going out into eternity every day. And so those things can't wait out a pandemic. Those things don't wait out what's going on in the world. People leave this world every day, and we've got to tell the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever we go. Luke chapter 2, we're going to begin reading with verse 8. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them according to the concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I love Christmas. I love the lights. I love all the decorations. I love all the songs of Christmas. Even the silly ones. I like those too. I like the exchange of gifts. It has nothing to do to me with what the value in terms of monetary value of it is. I just like that whole aspect of it. Now let me just tell you something about me just for a moment. I like surprises. Not in every area of life, though. One time Sherry surprised me with this thing. It was a picnic. And I did not like that. It was just so unpredictable. For one, I'm not really an outdoorsy type person anyway. And so this is when we were dating, and it was just weird to me. I didn't feel comfortable with that. And so guess what? She's never done that again. She said, "You showed out, I ain't doing that again." She made it clear. We were dating. She's like, "We ain't doing that ever again." But I do, when it comes to a gift or something, I don't want somebody to tell me what they've got me. I don't care what it is. And I'm not a person that's going to be looking for it. Some of y'all in this room, if y'all know somebody's got you something, you search the house for it. Looking in closets, trying to see if you got it. Some of you as kids, your parents couldn't even hide stuff from you because you were always looking for it. Now, I didn't want to do that. In fact, when I like to give gifts that are a surprise too. And so we certainly have our boys. They kind of reached that age, a number of years ago now, where they was like, they wanted a certain things and they wanted to go ahead and pick them out. I ain't about all that. I went on with it. Okay, we'll do it. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get y'all something that y'all don't know about. Because that's the joy of it for me. That's the part that's fun. If I'm just picking out, I'm just going to buy what you want, that ain't no fun. But if I'm going to get you what I want you to have, that's fun. Now, me and my sister Debbie were different. I remember Debbie, she would look for stuff. Furthermore, she was one of them that would pick up stuff and try to guess what's in it. She would shake it. I remember that she would kind of pinch the corners off of the wrapping and try to look, see if there was some kind of name on the box or something. I even remember one particular year where Debbie unwrapped the gifts and wrapped them back up. She had really got good with the wrapping part. And so she endeavored to unwrap it and wrap it back up. I also remember Mama then putting newspaper around it, making it hard. But for me, I don't want to do all that. I like the suspense of it, of the surprise, whatever it is. Now, when I think about the Christmas story, they're really in terms of the flesh. We get to read it all, and so it kind of takes away the surprise element of it. But I want to tell you, it's a surprising thing that God would leave the splendor of heaven wrapped in human flesh, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in the Son would not perish but have everlasting life, that God would give this world, humanity, his Son is an amazing, surprising thing. Now, it's not surprising when we know the love of God, you see, but we have the whole story. But when we think about him leaving the splendor of heaven to people like you and I, it's amazing. There's some surprising things about the Christmas story when we realize who Jesus is. Being the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, who was there when everything was created, and there was nothing that was created that he was not in or was not a part of. That's what the scripture says in John chapter 1, being fully the Son of God. But he was born to a young peasant woman, really a young girl, very poor, common girl. It's got to be a surprise to us that the King of Kings would be born in a stable, wrapped in cloths, laying in an animal's trough, eating trough. It's surprising, it's amazing that that would happen, that it would be in Bethlehem, that was just a small town and was not some major city of its day even. It was just a regular, ordinary little town, this place Bethlehem. The thing that I want to make a beeline to is the surprising thing is that the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ, the one who was and is and who shall return, he, Jesus, who was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Bible says that in verse 14 of John chapter 1, and we beheld the only begotten of the Father, who is full of grace and truth. He came veiled in human flesh. And this announcement of Jesus to this earth was an announcement made by the angelic hosts to shepherds. Shepherds, ordinary people. People that were not even considered of great value in their day. They were perhaps even considered by some to be outcast because of the dirty job that they had. I notice in verse 8 it says, in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields. They lived out in the fields with the flock that they cared for. These individuals would not have smelled good. These individuals would not have been in any way the upscale people of their day. Many of the Orthodox people of Judaism would not have had a high view of them because they would not have been keeping a lot of the cleanliness laws in Judaism. Just by nature of their very job, they could not have done a lot of those things in the timeliness and all of the times in which they would want them to appear as clean as they might would be because of their jobs. In fact, I want to just to say, I think there's a couple of reasons why God made this announcement to the shepherds. One is because of their occupation. Because they were shepherds, they knew all about sheep. And I would imagine growing up there and there being in Judea and in this place where the Word and the Old Testament, as we know, had unfolded, and they would have been strong, and I'm sure of in their knowledge of Judaism, and they would have understood how that God used the sacrificing of animals for to be used in their Jewish worship in order for as the high priest would offer an animal sacrifice for the sins of the people. And no doubt, as shepherds, they were raising sheep, that some of which probably were used as and sacrifice for the sins of people. So I think it's interesting that he would make an announcement concerning the Messiah, the Son of God, to shepherds, because Jesus is called the Lamb of God, slain from the very foundation of the world, and they would know all about sheep. And I imagine that on occasion, if they were really steeped in the Jewish religion, that maybe they would even thought on occasion, I wonder when the Messiah would come. I wonder when the Lamb of God will come. I wonder when he will come. I wonder how long we're going to have to offer these sacrifices of these sheep. I wonder how long the high priest is going to have to search for the perfect sacrifices. And here, when the announcement came, it was of the Lamb of God, and they knew well about sheep. There was also a sense of expectation that no doubt God understood concerning these personalities on this hillside that day. You see, some people would have not reacted like they did and may have not taken action like they did, but these men on this hillside, they reacted with great expectation and they took off. And when we get down to verses 15, 16, 17, it says that they went with haste and began to look for this baby that had been announced concerning his birth. And so it is, what I want us to see this morning is that these shepherds seized the moment that was before them. The opportunity that was given to them, they seized it. They didn't mess around. They didn't just sit around and talk about it. But they immediately began to seize the moment, the opportunity given them. And I want to speak to us this morning along these lines, that we need to be ready to seize the moment. And for the next few moments, I'm going to share some observations from this passage of Scripture and the story of the shepherds, and also some application here and how God deals with you and I, how he deals with us even in this present hour. Now, one of the things I note is in verse 8. It says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. Now, we've got to look at the previous verse. We know what follows, but in the previous verse, it says concerning Mary that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In that same country, in that same region, and that same area, saying, this is where these shepherds were. And this is where the announcement concerning his birth came, in the same country. Now, I want you to get this very practical statement here. I want us to recognize and let's find out what God is doing in our own neighborhoods. See, these shepherds, they were in the same area where Christ is being born. They're in the same area. I want us to recognize as Christians that God is working right now in this present hour, and it's so easy for us to get caught up with all the things that is happening all around us, and we miss what God is doing in our own neighborhood, in our own community, in our own families, in our own local church, in our own area. We need to grab hold of the fact that God is is moving even when we have no clue about it. But by faith and by the by what we understand here in the scriptures, understand that God is working when you don't even realize it. And you just have to understand that. God is working even now. Even when you don't know how he's doing it, he's working. Several months ago, we had with us, you might remember, we had Nicole brought, who's a missionary to Indonesia, she brought with her Wawan and Jody, who are young ministers to the deaf peoples of India. I mean, Indonesia, rather. Indonesia. And she began to, they testified, different things like that. And so what I want to share with you, there was, now, Wawan, he was the one real short. And Jody, beside Wawan, looked like he was 8 foot tall, but no, he was just normal height. But Wawan, see, they came here, both of these young ministers came here to go to Bible college to be trained for the mission work that they would go back to Indonesia and do. While they're here, the pandemic kind of takes over everything. All of a sudden, they get through with their schooling, but they cannot fly home. They have to stay here for several more months. Well, what we didn't really realize when they first came was that Jody was blind in one eye, had been in intense pain most of his life. He had even been ridiculed and made fun of concerning his not being able to see in this one eye. But he had experienced great pain, but because of the COVID-19 pandemic, they couldn't go home. There was a doctor, a surgeon in Tennessee that said, I can do something about that eye. They did surgery on his eye. They took that eye out. He no longer is in any pain. They put a prosthetic eye in the place there. When you look at him, you can't tell which one is his real eye from the prosthetic eye. And all of that happened while the world was in a pandemic and in panic. What I'm telling you is that God is working when we don't even know how he's working. Even in the difficult moments, even when it looks like the world is upside down, we serve a God who still saves, delivers, and he heals. And in the midst of life when we think that everything is wrong, I want to tell you, we serve a God who is right. We serve a God who still saves people. We serve a God who is still doing work within people's lives, that they need to be baptized as they believed upon him. And there's people that are still being delivered. There's people that are still experiencing the miracle hand of God. God is still calling people into ministry. He's still calling people to be missionaries around the world. God is working even now, and you and I need to be excited about what he's doing in our own neighborhood. We need to be excited about what he's doing in the local church. We need to be excited about what he's doing here. Even when we don't understand what's going on in America, our God is alive. Our God is not dead. And he's working on our behalf. Listen, that's beautiful, isn't it? They were in the same country. They're just doing their ordinary job. And let me just share this observation with you. Opportunity comes to those who are fulfilling their responsibilities. Opportunities come to those who are fulfilling their responsibilities. These shepherds were just fulfilling their responsibilities, and they received this incredible opportunity to be recipients of this angelic message of the good news of the gospel, and they could carry this message to those that were around them. It all happened to people just doing their regular job. And you think God can't use you on your job? See, the problem is we get to looking and we think, well, God needs to move me over here in order to be used by him. I've got news for you today. He will use you right where you are. He wants to fulfill his plan within your life, right where you are. But too often, we get in our minds that there's a golden opportunity somewhere else. Now, I'm not telling you that God don't change things and don't move us and don't give us different opportunities and other opportunities. I'm not saying that, but what I'm telling you is don't be chasing butterflies that are elusive when it may be that right where you are is where God wants you. You see, sometimes people get to thinking that there's always something better somewhere else. There's always another job that they'll be more satisfied with. There's always another church that they'll be satisfied with. There's always another person that they'll be satisfied with. Only if I had this relationship, only if I had this money, or only if I had this job, or only if this would take place, then maybe it would all work out, while all the while God is just wanting you to be faithful just right where you are. Faithful. He uses faithful people. He was on this occasion, he used people that were just doing a regular job. And see, I want to tell you, if we'll start looking at where we are in light of the purposes of God, it'll change how we feel about where we are. You see, if you'll start thinking about where he's got you right now and start looking about the people that are around you in your particular vocation or in your particular family, in your particular sphere of relationships, if you'll start looking around you and start thinking of everybody around you as a person that you can influence for the cause of Christ, it's going to change everything when it becomes about the purposes of God. I want to tell you, if it's everything's got to be about me, I'm never going to be satisfied. But when I start putting my eyes upon the purpose of God, all of a sudden I start seeing all kinds of opportunity. In fact, everybody I pass becomes an opportunity. Everybody I'm talking to becomes an opportunity. Everybody I speak to or able to smile at or able to come in contact with becomes an opportunity when I look at it through God's eyes. But if I'm just looking at it and how I feel about it, I'll never be satisfied. Never be satisfied. Because then when you start looking at how you just feel about it, you're going to compare yourself to other people and what they're doing and what this person is over here and over there. And that's not God's plan. It's about his purpose. It's about his purpose. Opportunities can also be fearful. This third observation here is that opportunities can be fearful situations. There's times when God does move us sometimes. Sometimes you may have a job change. It can be a fearful situation. Here, they were challenged, these shepherds were challenged with a great message, and they were terrified. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Scott Robertson right here, he's an insurance agent. Just imagine you show up tomorrow at your office and an angel meets you at your desk. And then in just a moment, you sit back in your chair stunned and an angelic choir starts singing. I think you're going to be a little fearful. It's going to blow our mind, but it don't make you unspiritual because you got a little fearful. Anybody say amen to that? It doesn't mean you have a lack of spirituality because you're a little fearful. There's a difference. See, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But fear, that kind of fear that brings paralysis, the kind of fear that kind of locks us up and shuts us down, that's he doesn't want us to live that way. But I want to tell you what, sometimes when you're moving into a different role on a job, God could be all behind it and you are apprehensive. You can feel like, man, I don't know if I can do that. But this is the difference. When you have that feeling of apprehension, this is where the power, love, and sound mind come in. Even though you have apprehension, and we might even call it, I was a little bit fearful of it, it did not paralyze you because you understood the will of God in your life. You went ahead and stepped right into it. That's exactly what the shepherds did. They were fearful, but they understood God was behind it, and they stepped into it anyway and saw God's will unfold in their life. I want to encourage you. Even though there may be a challenge going on in your life, there may be a change going on in your life, there may be a situation that is going a little bit different than maybe you had thought, and maybe you prayed about something and God is doing it, but now you're a little bit apprehensive as he's moving you in your life. I want you to understand, he doesn't want paralysis for you, but he wants you to stand in awe and fear of him. But don't you let it stop you from following the plan of God. Step into his plan even when you don't know how he's going to work this situation out. Step into it. What it comes down to is he wants you to trust him no matter how you feel. No matter how you feel. If you feel fearful, if it's God, step into it. That's where the power, love, and sound mind comes in. I'm going beyond the fear. I'm stepping beyond the apprehension. I'm stepping beyond this, what I don't understand and what I cannot grasp. I just sense that. I don't know who God is speaking to this morning, but somebody God is speaking to in a way that he wants you to take that next step and trust him and have faith in him. You see, God will make his guidance clear to us. He'll make his guidance clear to us. I'm telling you, there's times when you say, but Stephen, man, sometimes things are so unclear. Absolutely, I know what you're saying. Sometimes things are very unclear, but what I'm telling you is, God will make his guidance clear. You just got to trust him. But he will make it, he will give us clarity. That's what he did to them. What did he say to them? It said they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Verse 11. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Isn't that beautiful right there? He could have said right here, and we'd have been fine with it if we read this, "For he is born unto you," or unto the world, "this day a Savior." No. But he said, "It's born to you." He's talking to those shepherds, and he's saying, not only is this for everybody else, but for you, this child is born. But for you, this Savior has been given. And I want to encourage you today. May you know that Jesus is for you. He's got a plan for you. And I want to tell you, as we go through life and decisions have to made and be made, and I just want us to see in this application that He will make things clear just as He did to them. He said, all of a sudden, what they were fearful of, now He's making things clearer. He's making it clearer. In verse 12, He says, and this will be the sign of you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. All of a sudden, they know what they're looking for. They still don't know what it's like to be in that position. They still don't know where He is. They got to go in that direction and find where the Christ child is born. But they do know what they're looking for. Why? Because God is making His guidance clear to them. Just a few principles I want to share here. The greater the change that's going to take place in our life, the greater the sign. I don't want you to have in your mind right now end times, signs, and that kind of stuff, and the end times, the end of Scripture. I'm talking about directional signs in our lives. The greater the signs, or the greater the change that's going to take place, the greater the signs. I've seen it over and over in life how when the Lord was directing me and put in my heart vision of things that would happen and change that would take place, I would begin to see things more clearly, and there'd be signs to me. And I could go back and outline my life. Even when I was called into the ministry, I can describe those occasions where God spoke into my life with clarity, and to me they are like big signs. I remember when I was about 13, 14 years old, probably in that range. I was, we were in where our offices are in the next building over. That was our sanctuary then here at church. My daddy was the pastor. And his office was right at the foyer. If you've been in that place, that's where Miss Kim's office is now. When you walk in the office building, that was my daddy's study, we just called it. We didn't call it office, it was study. And I was sitting on a Sunday morning before church, just sitting at my daddy's desk at about 13, 14 years old. And the associate pastor at that time, Tony Rhodes, come in. And as I was sitting there, he said, one day you're going to sit in that chair. I said, Brother Tony, there ain't no way. I said, God, I have to write that in the sky for me to be a preacher. You know what? God didn't write it in the sky, but God made it so clear, the sign to me, that He had called me into the ministry. He might as well wrote it in the sky. It was just as clear. And I walked through that door. I want to tell you, the greater the change in your life, the greater the sign. I've seen it over and over again. Our God will faithfully direct your life. You can count on Him. Trust Him. Don't doubt Him. He will see it through. Listen to me. Listen to me. The greater the calling upon your life, the greater the affirmation that will come There will be people who will affirm and confirm. God will use individuals. He'll use situations to affirm, to make sure that you're following the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll lead you to various scriptures that will affirm what God is saying to you. I want to tell you, you can trust the Lord. His guidance will be clear. The Holy Spirit will step right in to our lives and lead us and guide us. Listen, seize the moments of God's direction in our life. God has called us to follow Him. So let's follow Him. Let's follow Him the best we know how. And I want to tell you something. We're all in need. You may not have your vocation. You say, I'm not in the ministry. I would declare to you as a Christian, we're all in the ministry. The difference is He may just be, He'll work within the place of your vocation, but He wants you to understand that people all around you are in need of the good news of the gospel, and He'll use you where you are, and we're all in need of the directing power of the Holy Spirit. Man, I got to stop. Where, listen to me now, where He leads, He proceeds. You will find where God leads you, when you get there, He was just waiting on you to get there. Where He leads, you'll find that He's already gone before you. Where He leads you to go witness to somebody, and you've got it on your heart, you need to talk to somebody, and you're worried to death about it, but when He directs you, you'll find He's already been there. You'll say, but they didn't seem to accept what I said. Listen, I want to tell you, don't assume anything. Just because they sounded like they rejected what you had to say, there is a God who is exceedingly able to do beyond what you and I can ask or think. You may be planting a seed or you may be watering a seed, but one thing you can count on, if God led you there, He's already there. This last principle is this. If you will obey, you'll always go the right way. If you'll desire to live an obedient life to God, you'll go the right way. Disobedience leads to the wrong place. But if you'll try your best to follow the Lord, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what it smells like, you can be sure of this. If you desire to obey God and obey Him and His word, He'll lead you in the right way. Have confidence in Him. Have confidence in Him. Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.